If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Bible. That's one that's always been good for me to understand. And when you get there, if you're able, I would like to ask you to please stand as I read from God's Word. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, today, as we talk about being overcomers in our life, we know that's why Jesus died, that we would have eternal life, that the penalty for our sins would be paid. And we are truly thankful for that sacrifice today, Lord. And dear God, we ask you, Father, to please speak through me today, Father. Let nothing come from my thoughts or my own flesh, but let everything come by your Holy Spirit, because we receive mightily and boldly from your power and your anointing. We thank you, Father, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to back up here just a little bit and talk something about the resurrection. Now, you know, Jesus was placed into a tomb, and a large rock was put over the entrance to the tomb because the guards were afraid that the disciples might try to come and steal the body. They were wanting to try and disprove that this resurrection would ever happen. But we know that Mary and some had gone down to the tomb that morning. They were going to anoint the body of Jesus. And when they got there, the stone had already been rolled away. And in the book of Matthew, it talks where an angel had come down from heaven and rolled back the stone, and Jesus came out, and it said that his appearance was white like lightning, and his countenance was beyond anything they'd ever witnessed. And the guards fell in fear of him. So Jesus had come out of the grave, and he came out in boldness and in power and truth. He had said over and over and over again that the temple would be destroyed, that in 3 days it would be rebuilt. But I think most of the folks were probably thinking he was talking about a building. But he was actually talking about his body being beaten and bruised and nailed to a cross, being torn down. And as he hung on that cross, for that, I think it was 6 to 8 hours, there was so much happened. And can you imagine being God the Father, seeing your own Son on the cross, bleeding, and taking the sins of the world? A man who knew no sin became sin on the cross to give us life. And as God the Father saw his Son taking our sins upon him, he turned his face away from his only begotten Son, because I'm sure that it pained our Father God to see his Son in that position. But he knew that it had to be done. Now, something I want to point out about the resurrection. When John and I think it was Peter had gone on into the tomb, they found Jesus' burial clothes lying where he had laid, but the facial napkin was folded very neatly and laid to the side from the burial clothes. Do you know what that signifies? Back in the days of the Bible, when a master would have his dinner, the master, if he was not finished, he would crumple his napkin and throw it down, meaning he was done. And he was not going to be returning to the supper table. So the servant knew he could clear the table and put everything away. But if his master had folded the napkin neatly and set it over aside from the plate and where he had been eating, it meant that he was returning. He was not done. So if you look at the napkin being folded by Jesus' burial clothes and set away, you know what Jesus was saying? I'm not done yet. I'm coming back. Glory to God. So on that resurrection morning, Jesus was alive, and Jesus is very much alive today. And I want you to know that no matter what you are going through in your life, you are an overcomer through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. I want you to know this morning that not one single thing can separate us from God's love. Nothing. Death, hell, no storm, no problems in this life, no person, no devil could ever separate us. God says that He loves us and He will never leave us or forsake us. And I tell you what, Brother Milton, I listened to you pray this morning, sir. And buddy, I could feel the Holy Spirit move in my heart as you prayed. And I know that you and your wife are definitely God-fearing. Well, everybody here. But I'm just, as you prayed this morning, it was a blessing to hear those words, sir. And I thank you for your life. And I can see God at work in the lives of people here because of your countenance and your joy. So if we cleave to Christ, we will have a relationship that is full of joy, it is full of blessings, it is full of peace and strength, and God will always lead and guide us through every day that we live. Now in verse 4, this was Paul's writing, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Now what does rejoicing mean? It means to feel or show great delight. Now, I want you to think about something. We were all kids at one time. Hard to believe, as old as I am. But we were all kids once. And can you remember on Christmas morning when you had the gifts under the tree and you saw your name? And the joy, the celebration, because you were going to receive something great. Well, Paul is telling us to rejoice because we have received the greatest gift ever. We have received salvation. We have received eternal life through Jesus Christ. And that ought to cause us to be happy. When we come to church, we ought to come to church expecting God to work miracles in our life. God is in the miracle-working business, and it doesn't matter what church you go to, what name is on the board sign out there, God is there if the people will allow Him to be in control and allow Him to move. And we are in a day and age right now where there has been a lot of fear and a lot of turmoil spread because of COVID, because of financial problems and wars and rumors of wars and famines and all this, and all these, there was all these riots breaking out, and people were not going to church, and folks were thinking, is this the end? But no, it's not. We should take a hold of that prize that was given, that gift to us, and we ought to rejoice, and we should come to God's house. And not only do we bring it to God's house, but every day in our life. When we're at home, when we're at the grocery store, no matter where we are, The joy of the Lord should be showing upon our face, and we should be loving people that we come into contact with. Now, I want you to think for what Jesus has done, though. That ought to cause you to rejoice. And if you think about this scripture, this passage that Paul wrote, do you know where Paul wrote it? He was in prison. He was in chains when he wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always." So you and I may be going through problems. We may be going through situations. We may be facing a health scare or some crisis or maybe something in our family, whatever it might be on the job. But I want you to know that no matter what we're facing, if we will start to rejoice and give praise to God the Father and trust Him to take care of all of our needs, which says in Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now, if He takes care of all of my needs, I've got nothing to worry about. And the Bible tells us 365 times, do not worry. How many days are in a year? That's right, brother. 365. So every day, God is telling us, do not fear. So when you get out of bed in the morning and your feet hit the floor, you should say, I am a child of God. I am strengthened by the Lord. His love and His presence are with me, and nothing is going to defeat me this day. I will rejoice in Him. Are we boasting in the Lord enough? Are we telling our neighbors and friends all about God's goodness? Are we sharing with them what He's done in our life? Because see, God put us here to be fishers of men. God put us here to train others up in His Word. That's what the disciples were doing. And as time and as generations have passed, there have been so many to carry on the legacy that the Lord has wanted us to live out. God doesn't want you being afraid. God doesn't want you going through life with a frown on your face. God doesn't want you going through life with a heavy, anxious heart. God wants you to stand up and rejoice. When you hit your knees and pray of a morning, if you're able to get on your knees, or whether you sit in your chair and pray, give it all to the Lord. And when you get done praying, you thank Him that He has answered and heard your prayers, and then you go and live it. When you live your life in this way, when you rejoice, you will be a pretty happy person. We cannot rejoice in our houses or the cars or any of our accomplishments or money. We cannot rejoice in that stuff. It is all temporary. But the things of God are eternal. So the Bible says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, but not upon this earth. And why is that? Because if we try to build up a little kingdom on the earth, well, it's going to all pass away and be destroyed one day. When you came into this earth, you were born naked. You were born with nothing. You were just a human life. And when you die, when you take your last breath on this earth, you will enter into the kingdom of God, and you will not take anything with you that you have accomplished and built up here on this earth. So if you can't take it with you, then don't worry about toiling for it here. What you need to be working for is what God has laid up for us in heaven. God's laid up for us in heaven treasures and riches. We will dwell with Him for forever. Now that makes me pretty happy. I don't know about you, but I'm going to shout and rejoice over that. Remember that Jesus is the source of our joy. He is the source, nothing else. You know, when we walked in here this morning and I saw smiles on people's faces and just talk, and Janine and I talked to you, and just during the song service, you can experience the joy of the Lord through all that. Do you know how important it is to be in fellowship with one another? It brings a lot of joy. As some of us were talking this morning, we found out that some of the ages, and I told someone, I said, well, I'm 22. I was just kidding around because I'm a lot older than that. But you know what? I find joy being in fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I've got a lot of joy just coming into the presence of the Lord because I know He's always there. You know, there's a lot of times in my life, yes, that I've gotten down and I've been burdened with stuff, and I thank God He's given me a godly wife that prays and talks with me. Sometimes she may want to beat me over the head with a club. I'm expecting all the women to say amen to that. But yeah, there you go. But God has given us Jesus as our source of joy. Secondly, we need to take our troubles to the Lord. Verses 6 and 7 says, don't worry about anything, but in all things, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, when you go to God in prayer, how many of you take your troubles to God in prayer, or how many of you try to solve them? Well, I'm not going to raise my hand for trying to solve my own. I do that. I sit down and I get this thing to working, and you know what, Sister Effie, that's a dangerous thing up there sometimes. I get to thinking with that thing, and I think I've got it all worked out, and then it backfires. And then God says, well, you should have come to me first. I've been waiting for you the whole time. But God wants us to come to Him in prayer daily. You know why God wants us to pray to Him daily? Because God loves the fellowship. Why do you think God created us? God created us to have fellowship with Him because He has such a compassionate love for us that when we come to Him in prayer and we bow upon our face before Him, or even just bow our hearts before Him, it excites God. I mean, really. I was talking to somebody this morning, and I said, do you know that we were created in God's image? And God, if we laugh, don't you know that God laughs too? That God has a lot of joy? I mean, if you can look at a face like this and laugh, you know you got joy. I see some smiles right now. But when we go to God and pray and we take that heavy load and we lay it at the foot of His throne, do you know that God is looking at you with compassion and He's taking everything away from you? And He has given you the strength to live. He has given you purpose. He has given you ability. But see, our eyes and our heart have to be focused on Him. We can't put it anywhere else. You know, when Peter walked on the water to Jesus, Peter was fine as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But he looked at the storm going on around, and Peter thought he was being an overcomer. But once he looked at what was going on around him, he started to sink. And he cried out to Jesus to save him. And Jesus reached his hand out and took him and brought him safely back into the boat. How many times do we fail to pray to God, but we look at the storms in life, what's raging around us, do we lose our faith? Because we're looking everywhere else but the source. He's our source. So if He's our source, then God expects us to come to Him and pray. When we pray, we should pray with confidence. Confidence, faith. I mean, God is a God who keeps His promises. This word is powerful, life-changing, amazing. So when I go to God, I'm just going to tell you what I do. Now, you may have your way of doing it with God, and that's fine. When I go to God in prayer, or when I pray with my wife, I lay it before Him. And I say, Lord, here's what's going on. You know what's happening. But I pray with all confidence and all faith, knowing that You have heard me. You've already got a plan worked out. You've got the answer. So I've got nothing to worry about. So if I pray with that kind of confidence and that kind of faith, then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go through the day that I'm living. I'm not going to think about tomorrow. I'm going to go through today, and I'm going to thank God for this moment that I'm alive, and I'm going to thank God that I can rejoice and worship Him, that I can sing, that I can live and tell others about Jesus, and not think another thing about my problems or my worries. We should pray about everything and pray earnestly. Do you know that every little decision you make in your life, if you want to be an overcomer in your life, you've got to take everything to God. That starts with your marriage. That starts with your own life. That starts with your job, your finances, your family, your job, schooling, whatever it is. God, we should go to Him first. And we should lay it before Him and say, Father, is this Your will for us? Are these the steps You want us to take in life? Because you know what? If we choose a whole different path, we're going to trip and fall pretty bad. I can't tell you how many times that I have made decisions without seeking God, and it didn't turn out good. Here a while back, I interviewed for a church some years ago, and I did the dumb thing of knowing in my heart it wasn't the right place. But because I let myself get in the way, I thought, oh, this would be good. And they voted us in, had one no vote out of everybody there. And I thought, well, oh, this is God. Oh, yeah. But I never took it to the Lord and really sought Him with that. And when I felt that in my heart, I should have got my wife and we should have got it. But you know what? You can't change the past. You can only learn from your mistakes. That's why I am sharing with you this morning, take everything to God in prayer and don't make a decision until God has given you a spiritual green light to go. Amen. Amen. One of the best ways to be an overcomer is by taking every trouble and every problem to God. You know, I thank God. I work for Crane Funeral Home, and I thank God for that job because I get to serve families. And there has been some times that I will even preach funerals there too. And you know, one thing I always do, I always preach a salvation message, because you know what? When people come to a funeral, their hearts are heavy. They're feeling a loss and a grief. They're going through some turmoil times in their life. And if I share the love of Jesus through a message, if I share salvation and it hits somebody square in the heart, you know what that's going to cause? That's going to cause that person to think about what they've heard. And when they hear a life-giving message, and when the Holy Spirit of God falls on them, it's going to start a reaction. It's going to start a change. And when that seed is planted, that seed is going to grow into something beautiful in their life. I had a gentleman at a funeral a few months ago, his daughter come up to me. And she says, Brother Jim, your message this morning, my father wants to get saved today. And I says, well, we were getting ready to get in the hearse and go back to the cemetery to the grave. I said, right after we've got to get back there to the grave side, because the funeral director, you know, the guy I work with says, well, we got to get back there. We got to get going. Okay. I said, so have your father, you bring him up here and we'll pray. And they never showed up after the service, after the graveside. And I told my wife that it bothered me for days. I sat that night really troubled by it, saying, Lord, did I do something wrong? But you know what? The Lord gave me a peace. The seed was planted and He takes care of it. See, it's not up to me. It ain't my job to water that seed and make it grow. It's up to God. So if I give everything to the Lord, He's a good shepherd. And He's going to lead me in paths of righteousness. He is going to lead me beside the still waters. He is going to calm my troubled soul. He's going to wipe away my tears. He's going to give me joy when I've been weeping. Weeping may endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Where does your joy come from? Mine comes from the Lord. And then lastly, turn your thoughts to the good things of God. Now we went through verse 8, and verse 8 clearly tells us how we ought to think. Verse 8 says, whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever things are lovely and of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, the Bible says, think on these things. Now, I want to point this out. When Jesus was in the garden praying to the Father, his sweat became blood, just the big drops of blood, because Christ was filled with this grief. He knew what was awaiting him, and he knew his punishment. He knew he would be nailed to that cross. And somewhere deep inside that human flesh, I guarantee you it was tearing him up. But he wasn't thinking of himself. He was thinking of you and I. See, his thoughts could have been one way. His thoughts could have been his way, but he thought of you and I. And when the guards came to get him, he didn't put up a fight. When they beat him, he didn't try to fight back. When they made him carry the cross, he carried his cross up to Calvary's hillside. And when they nailed him to the cross, he could have called 10,000 angels to come and got him, but he didn't. His love and his thoughts toward you and I kept him there, because he knew that he had to shed his only, his precious blood. God gave his only son so that you and I would be saved from the penalty of sin, that we wouldn't have to go to hell. So if his thoughts were on me, then I ought to be thinking what that word says. I ought to be thinking of good things. God is my Father. Jesus died for me. He rose from the dead. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. I got the hiccups this morning. I'm loved. I'm good looking. You're made in God's image, and God's beautiful. God's glorious. So when you next time you pass by a mirror, promise me you'll walk by the mirror and say, hey, good looking, how you doing today? I want you to do that. And I want you to call somebody. I really want to put out a challenge to everybody today. Call somebody and tell them how much Jesus loves them. Be a witness. Be an example. But let the words of God be in your heart, that you share them with people that you're around. Because when God's word goes forward, it goes forward in power and in boldness, and things happen. When God created this world and created life, God spoke it all into existence. So if God spoke a word to make something happen, then we need to be speaking words of life. So whatever things are praiseworthy, you may be going through your physical sickness, but if you say, it feels great to be healed. The blood of Jesus has me cleansed and covered. I am made strong by His power. Now, some folks may say that just sounds plumb crazy. Well, Maybe to the flesh it sounds crazy, but I'm telling you what, I serve a mighty God that He still heals today. He still saves. He can still turn any life around. This guy right here, when I was in high school, I wouldn't talk to nobody. I didn't like people. I was not raised, I won't go into it, but I just wasn't raised with a lot of love. But the day I got saved, gave my heart and life to the Lord, God started dealing with me one day about preaching. I said, "No way, Lord." I couldn't stand up in front of people. And the more I read that word and it came alive inside of me, the Lord kept saying, "I want you to preach." And I kept saying no every time. No, I cannot talk in front of people. I don't know what to say. And the Lord said, "I'll take care of that." And you know what God's done in my life? When Jesus came into my heart, He gave me a love. He gave me a compassion. He gave me a joy. He gave me such sweet fellowship. And there ain't nothing better than serving my Lord. Do I make mistakes? Yes, folks, I make mistakes. I'm a human. I don't want anybody to look at this preacher and say, he's got to be good. Man, he's a preacher. Oh, no. My grandfather was a pastor. My grandma wanted to kill him half the time. I'm surprised that she didn't, really. But the written word of the Lord has filled my life. And what I speak, what I think, that's what my life becomes. So you know what? I love to hug people. I love to love on people. And now at the funeral home, I wish I could just, I really do. Now sometimes people do want to hug. But I wish I could embrace every one of them. Not everyone's like that. But I just wish I could put my arms around them and cry with them. And this heart of mine breaks on the inside for every family that we deal with or serve. Even in ministry. Anybody that I've ministered to, I'm telling you what, God has done great mighty things. But speaking God's Word and living God's Word, it's made me an overcomer. So, Jesus' resurrection, this is not your typical Easter sermon, but if Jesus overcame death by rising from the dead, then we can overcome anything in life by rejoicing, by praying, and by living God's Word.